Hey, this is Dennis Mingo at Coastline Bible in Ventura, California, and you are listening to Do Not Keep Silent.
Welcome to Do Not Keep Silent.
Speaking out the name of Jesus in action and word.
Encouraging and equipping.
Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves.
Do what it says. Do not keep silent.
Friend, again, I'm talking with Steve Beeman of the Steve Beeman Group. And you can find that at stevebeemangroup.com. That's stevebeemangroup.com. And before we move on, I know there's people out there who are wondering the answer to a question that you brought up. Is sea salt and table salt really different? Do you have an answer for that?
Yeah, let me give you the lowdown on that. They're exactly the same when it comes to the health issue.
Okay.
Salt is salt. There is a difference for the active cook because sea salt has a coarser granule than does table salt. So if you're baking, you might want to use Morton salt because it's a finer granule and therefore dissolves better. Mm-hmm. If you're looking at salting beef or something where you want to take a pinch of salt, you might want to consider sea salt or kosher salt because it has a larger granule.
Okay, so that's really the difference, is it's just bigger.
Right.
Okay.
So we talk practical issues. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine about premium gas versus regular gas.
Mm-hmm.
And in certain modern cars, premium gas will get you such better mileage that it actually pays for itself.
Right. That's amazing. I think that's cool. Now, we talked about the physical path. And now let's move do we talk about emotional much?
We did, and again, the whole thing there is I talk to people all the time, and they want to go to the Tony Robbins type things because they want to see a change in their life.
Right.
We all know that positive mental attitude is a lot of the equation. I think it was Robert Schuller one time who said, one of the famous pastors, my brain just went blank, but he said that, you know, as I go through life, I learned that 99% is how I look at the 1% that happens to me.
Mm.
And it is how we interpret events that happen to our lives that cause us to behave. So we want to take that positive attitude to the next level and say, let's get to the source of your insecurities, your fear, your uncertainty, and your doubt.
Yeah, you know, if you can, help our listeners understand the difference between just positive thinking, but also putting that in with godly thinking. Because,
well, there's no question, and this is actually, you're going to get me on one of these high horses on this,
oh,
because I have a real problem with the success ministries that are out there. Yes, the scripture wants us to be holistically successful, but the scriptures are not about financial success purely. That's an outgrowth of a godly life. To those who give, more will be given.
Okay.
And so what I'm trying to do is take this whole positive attitude thing and put it through a biblical filter to say that positive attitude derives from the hope we put in the cross.
Okay.
And once we give our hopes to Jesus Christ, then we can be content in our lives and we can eliminate fear, uncertainty, and doubt, and that leads to a healthy positive attitude.
Okay, so are we, with what you're talking about, are you talking about like Matthew 6 type stuff where Jesus is saying, do not worry about your life with what you eat and drink? Is that what you're talking about, kind of?
Absolutely. When he said, let tomorrow take care of tomorrow, you worry about today?
Okay.
The fact of the matter is people put so much worry and concern into things that are outside of their control. We need to give up to the Lord what we can't control and change what we can control.
You know, if you could give like a practical example of what you're talking about here, because, you know, both you and I know, our listeners know, I mean, the economy is in the tank right now, and some people just look to the economy and they just freak out about it. But, you know, like for my wife and I, we've decided, you know what, we're going to have a good attitude, rejoice in the Lord always, and no matter what happens, no matter what comes, we need to have a right attitude. So could you maybe give a practical example to people so that they're encouraged?
Yeah, and let me open up my own story.
Great.
Because this is the source of some of this. When I came through this transition in my life, which is known publicly as divorce, with my 6 children and the settlement that came out of it, I would be not honest with you, Jason, if I didn't say it about put me over the edge.
Mm-hmm.
I looked at my life and I said, how do I possibly turn this lemon into lemonade? And I've spent my life with the Zig Ziglars, the Dennis Waitleys, the Earl Nightingales, so I've got all the positive stuff down. But I looked at my own world and I said, I cannot turn this into positive. Lord, what have you done to me? And it wasn't until I studied more and more of Scripture that I realized he was giving me an opportunity to serve him. And when I took that purpose into my life and realized that I served a higher purpose, not my own purposes, and that he would provide the doors that needed to open, he would provide the path, It was at that time that I could find a sense of security and say, I need not worry about tomorrow. That's in the Lord's hands.
Okay. Now, what I'd like to, if you wouldn't mind sharing, and if I'm getting too personal, just say, no, Jason, I don't want to do that. for listeners out there who have gone through divorce or are moving toward that, and they're like, what am I going to do with my children? How did you deal as far as, you know, with your children to let them know, look, I still love you, all that stuff? I mean, how did you help them to understand, number one, what was going on, but number two, how we were going to get through this?
I started the Steve Beaman group.
Okay.
I don't mean that flippant. Somebody had lunch with me recently, and they looked up at me, and they said, I finally get it. This is all about you. And there was a big driver there to say, yes, indeed, my children need these insights, and I need these insights, and I need to reinforce these insights in myself. I realized, Jason, that, for example, I was on a spiritual journey that had been derailed almost by the divorce. I needed to get that back, and I needed to do that through a consistent time in prayer and a consistent time in the Word.
Now, with
and
that,
so the outgrowth of that was the spiritual path that I'm on.
Okay, you're saying you're in the Word a lot. I mean, what does that look like for you? I mean, you know, I'm sure it fluctuates just like it does for all of us, but when spending time in the Word, what does that look like for you?
Well, I'm spending time, as I said, I'm in the process of doing a book-by-book Bible study.
Okay, so you're in.
But I want to do it from a top-down perspective, because if you go out and, again, if you look at myself or my kids or you or so many people and you say, I kind of know what the Bible is, I know the story of Moses because of the Ten Commandments moved me, but what was Exodus really about? Let's take a look at that so people can be empowered with that knowledge to say, I get it. There's a, but, you know, for example, I had a discussion recently with somebody who said, the Bible can't be true. And I said, why is that? And they said, well, it said that the Israelites will suffer 400 years of affliction, but they were only in Egypt 215 years.
Okay.
So I looked at that, and on a surface, we might say, wow, that looks like a contradiction. But if you study it more, you realize the affliction started when Abraham was given the promise until the Israelites were taken to the promised land, and that was exactly 430 years, 215 in Egypt and 215 sojourning around the countryside.
That's amazing. And it's great that you know that information, because sometimes we're stuck going, well, what exactly is it? So you're really a group to help people to, well, get encouraged and equipped.
I want to help change your life through knowledge. I am all left brain. People accuse me all the time of overanalyzing things and outthinking things. But I believe knowledge, as I said earlier, is power. And I think when people can grasp the basics, for example, of the Bible and then go to church, they're going to have a richer experience because they'll have perspective about what their pastor's talking about.
Okay. And friend, again, we're sitting down with Steve Beaman, and you can find out information at stevebeamangroup.com. That's stevebeamangroup.com. And prior to founding the Steve Beaman Group, Steve established DuPage Business Partners, a venture capital and private equity firm that used the capital he had accumulated through the sale of his prior company. Now, the reason I bring that up is because let's get more into this financial part, if you can. As we wrap up here, I know there's people who are probably going, well, let's get into this. See, the guy is a self-made millionaire. You know, can you just share some stories with that?
Absolutely. As I said, I grew up on Wall Street, beginning as a retail brokerage person for E.F. Hutton. And then I went to the institutional side, where I learned institutional management of money. And then I started with two very good friends of mine, Chicago Investment Analytics.
Okay.
We were one of the early adopters of what are called quantitative processes. And I'd love to talk to your listeners about quantitative ideas in money management.
Okay.
It's managing by the tools and by the numbers. We built that company through the 90s to be very successful and respected. In 2000, the Charles Schwab Company acquired it, and it became the foundation of what's now called the Schwab Equity Rating.
Okay.
And that, so the Schwab Equity Rating, for example, something people can go online and they can see it, that rates stocks in an ABCD type nomenclature to show them which stock's attractive and which stock's not, based upon the numbers, not based upon emotion, not based upon thought, but based upon an evaluation of the numbers. And that equity rating has been the number one performing analyst on Wall Street for about the last 10 years.
Wow. That's, I'd say, a pretty good track record.
Exactly. And the reason it works is because quantitative processes work. And so that was the source of the money I have. And, you know, it's been a nice run, and I'm pleased about it. The private equity world that I walked into, I made investments in. I produced a movie called The Long Ride Home. Okay. I made investments in the corrugated industry and the HVAC industry, and I did that to learn more, and I learned a great deal. I had a commercial bakery I lost some money on. That happens. Mm-hmm. I had other things I made money on. So but I'd like to empower people and show them how they, too, can do it, because it's not as complicated as they think.
So you're saying when you have a failure, that isn't necessarily mean you are a failure. It just means you took a step back and keep moving.
I think that's one of the hardest things for people to learn. We fail if we try enough. It's inevitable that once in a while you'll fail. And that does not mean you're a failure or a bad person. It means you made a judgment that was a mistake, and that happens.
Yeah,
it means we've lived.
Yeah, I tell my listeners that General George Patton said, success is not how high you climb, but how high you bounce once you hit bottom.
That's a fact. And it's not whether we go through life with no failure. It's how we rebound from that and how we move on. And we do try to take our lessons learned. And yes, it's much harder to learn from failure. I get that. But you do learn more. And so you take those lessons and you share them with people and you try to build a better life for yourself and those around you.
Okay. And where again can they, would you like them to go to talk to you and everything?
I welcome them to visit stevebeamangroup.com and use the Ask Steve button if they have private questions for me, or they can visit on Facebook where they can receive weekly access to Life Changes, the weekly newsletter. I also publish my monthly radio broadcast up on Facebook at Steve Beaman Group. They can also email me directly at steve.beaman, B-E-A-M-A-N, at stevebeamangroup.com.
I think that's awesome. And Steve, before we get out of here, I always ask this question to my guests. So if there was just one thing you could share with our listeners, whatever that is, if there was just one thing you could share with them, whatever it is, what God is speaking to you, something with the Beaman Group, whatever it is, what would that be?
Try to put a new perspective on your life and realize that you can make a difference in your own life. You are responsible for the life you lead, and you can make the choices to make it better.
Hmm. Thank you so much for that. And friends, again, sitting down with Steve Beaman of the Steve Beaman Group. Find out information at stevebeamangroup.com. Thanks for listening, everybody, and have a great day.
Thanks, Jason.
Find us online at worldviewwarriors.org.